Was there a specific moment in time where you got the idea to chronicle the history of hip-hop and its influence on American culture, or tanning, as you call it?
Was there any particular time, you said?
Yeah, a specific moment where it just sort of clicked, where it was like, I have to tell this story.
I guess what I'd say is, you know, from just being in the business, I realized that there was, I was in the record business for many, many years. I grew up in the record business. And I knew that this scenario of, you know, trying to not necessarily ignore, but not celebrate the significance and the cultural impact that hip-hop has made as a culture on a global stage, I felt like if somebody didn't say it soon, then it was just going to go by, and we'd always be, you know, a music that, you know, a new genre of music that came on the scene in the late 70s, early 80s, but the cultural impact of it and the significance of how much it changed and how many different categories outside of entertainment that it affected was never going to get acknowledged. And I just didn't sit there and watch that, which is why you know, wrote the book and then ultimately made the documentary.
Oh, okay. Like you said, you grew up in the record business. You're an innovative marketer. Did you ever think that it would rise from a subculture all the way to not just the mainstream, but so deeply embedded in American culture?
I believe it. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have made it my career if I didn't believe it. You know, you believe, you see, I mean, you don't even know when you're in the middle of something that's a subculture and you believe in it. You don't put a title against it. You don't realize it's a sub anything. It's your entire world. No. You know, when you, in 1986, when you got on Shell Top Adidas and you're listening to Run DMC, you don't know that you're in a subculture. You think that's your world, you know? So you don't see it as a marketing term or as a, you know, a communication term. You just see it as, you know, the life that you live. So I never thought it would be. You know, I thought, honestly, the world that I lived in, I thought everybody was into it. And then when I started getting the opportunity to travel outside of my circle, then I started to confirm that everybody was into it. And I always felt like older people wasn't necessarily into it, but I didn't care about that.
Oh, okay. And
yeah, but older people was into a lot of other things. They weren't into comfortable TV, you know?
Yeah. And I read that you're teaching a course on tanning, and what would you say you learned about this generation's mentality from prepping that course on, you know, basically that surrounds your
novel? What course
are
you talking about?
I read in an interview that you said you were teaching a tanning course in NYU.
Oh, that was a while ago, yeah.
So what would you say you learned from teaching that course from the students about their mentality and just how deeply they love just hip-hop?
You know what it was? The students were actually, what I figured out, more shocked.
Oh.
Shocked is not the right word. The teachers were enamored with the
Yeah.
The students were enamored with the fact that teachers would allow me to teach that. The students loved it. In fact, I learned a lot from them. They learned a lot from me, and I probably confirmed some of the things that they thought. They were shocked that their school had gotten hip enough to even understand that I should be brought in as a guest lecturer. That was more of the surprise I learned from the students.
And usually things get, like, lost in translation when something's being adapted, like a novel, into a TV series. Were you surprised at all how the documentary series was able to encapsulate what you were trying to chronicle in your novel?
Say that last question?
When things usually get lost in translation when adapting a novel into anything else, and I just wanted to know, were you surprised at all at how the documentary series was able to encapsulate what you were trying to say in your novel?
No, I wasn't surprised. themselves in every detail of the documentary, making sure that it was perfect. I approached the project the entire way, like, you know, I'm representing, this is not about just me, I'm representing, you know, tens of millions of people who believe in this, who grew up in this generation and was affected by this culture and are true to it and represent it. So I wanted to actually just tell, in a very entertaining way, but informative way, you know, my take on how it affects everything, you know, outside of music, including, you know, politics and, you know, our current president of the United States. So, you know, I wasn't surprised at, you know, what it took, and I'm not surprised at the response. I had to, you know, bear the weight of making sure that I told the story accurately, and to be honest with you, when I was doing it, I ran it by a lot of people who I thought were, you know, very important architects of Fanning. Some of them you see interviewed, but a lot of them were, you know, guys like Will Smith and Jay-Z and the Puffy, who were just literally, you know, some of them interviewed, some not, but I would always run the concept by him and run certain stories by him just to get confirmation of my recollection.
Yeah, of course. And the documentary and the novel talk a lot about influence. And I think social media has only amplified, you know, the artist's influence on their audience and consumers. What do you think of the current landscape of hip-hop and its influence?
Well, I think the influence is global and recognized. I think that it's become, you know, super mainstream and recognized and part of everyday cultural understanding. You know, some parts of it are articulated as swagger, some parts of it are articulated as through dance, through comedy, through film. You know, you just see it and feel it everywhere. So that's how I feel about the current state of the culture.
And like I said, you're a great marketer. You've always had your eye on the trends. You've always had a good sense of what's going on in the culture. What do you think is the next step for hip hop as a culture, you know, to further its reach?
I don't, you know, look, as the culture keeps growing, you know, as a marketer, you know, I think I'm a good marketer regardless of. You know, whether we use hip hop and the influence of hip hop or culture, I think that not the hip hop culture, but culture in generally should be something that should be a part of marketing product. I don't think that you should do things that are not culturally correct in marketing products. I think it doesn't make any sense, and it's actually bad marketing if you're not telling the truth and you don't have cultural insights. I see it all the time in sports. When it's done wrong, you know, you've seen the stupid commercials like, you know, the Fruity Pebbles and guys are rapping in it, or Captain Crunch rapping, all these stuff commercials. But so you've seen versions of it where it's done wrong. If you are portraying culture correctly, then I think you are on your way of building up a great appetizer. And I think, to me, that's most important. Where hip hop is going next, it's mainstream culture. You know, like it's being interpreted by many different languages. You go to France, they got their own thing. You know, you go to Africa, they got their own guys rapping. I think that you're going to see much more collaboration between these artists, sharing audiences, and being able to work together.
The film and the documentary series and the book were made obviously before Apple bought Beats. And how do you think a deal like that where... Huh?
What was the last... You said, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was saying the Tangent of America was made before Apple made bought Beats. And I just wanted to hear your thoughts on how that's going to affect the genre, just being, you know, making Dr. Dre inches away from being a billionaire. How do you think that will affect other artists?
I don't know. I mean, Dr. Dre's been rich for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. I mean, it's great fodder for headlines, but it doesn't change anything. You know, Beats and Apple will have significant impact in technology, but Dr. Dre being a billionaire, you know, hopefully that makes people wake up in the morning and know everything's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, that was more like what I was getting at, just to see, you know, kids see that thing, or people young in the game see that thing, and they're just like, you know, if he was able to do it, I can reach that.
Yeah,
height.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm going to be honest with you. Dr. Dre is one of the best producers of all time, right? Yeah, he's always been. So, to me, you know, if he's younger generation, like, he's a billionaire. When he was a 100 millionaire, was that not enough? When he made some of the great albums, was that not enough? You know, it's just like, to me, it's like one of those things where the guy's super successful. You know, if he made $4 billion, should that make more people pay attention to him and be inspired? You know, he's been an inspiring figure for a long time. And I just think that's the part that should be, you know, this transaction is just a course of business. It shouldn't be a thing that now all of a sudden he's inspiring because of the fact that he just made $1 billion. You know, this guy's been one of the greatest artists and musicians of all time. He's created, you know, some of the leaders of culture over the last 20 years, you know, with Tupac and Snoop and others that he's worked with, and Eminem. So to me, it's like, you know, took a little long. He should have been got $1 billion. He's made, you know, more than $1 billion. He's earned his $1 billion in his contribution to culture.
Definitely. And I believe you've made a huge contribution with your documentary and your book. It was, I must say, I like binge-watched all 4 episodes, and it was interesting to see all the interesting people you got, especially Dr. Dre, who doesn't usually do interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How are you able to just get so many people to get involved with the project?
Many years of relationships. I was in a record business. I was part of the culture, part of the record business. So these are my friends, you know, people who really want to push this message forward. So it wasn't really that hard.